If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Your coffee would never get cold. Your flight would always be on time. And your mattress would always respond to you and your unique sleep needs. Sleep Number mattresses are designed to respond to your body and shift with your changing life, helping you fall asleep faster and stay asleep longer. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're back, hour number two, Pharrell Coast to Coast on a Wednesday. Carver High and Joe Lisi in for Scotty on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Good to have you with us here today. All right, Joe, we've got several other games in the NBA tonight that we need to get to. Let's go to the Garden, where the Knicks take on Miami. Now, they've gone down to Miami a couple times in the last month or so, split with them down there. Now they're laying 4.5. At home, 223.5 is the total. You were on the Heat last time they played, I believe, down in South Beach. Are you back in the Heat again, who played last night, as we know, in Toronto and got beat up by the Raptors?
No, I think this is a get-right spot for the Knicks. And you know I love bully ball, right? But on the road in this type of environment with the Knicks playing a little bit inconsistent, I think Julius Randle and the crew step up. I think they get a convincing win tonight over the Heat.
There you go. I'm on the Knicks tonight with you. I think they took care of business against the Rockets the other night. I know Butler didn't play last night, Joe. Not sure yet if he's going to be in there tonight.
Could be a Lisi play tonight. Could be a Lisi play tonight.
There you go. Could be a Lisi play tonight. The Mavericks, who have been all over the place the last few weeks, finally snapped their losing streak the other night in Indiana. Now they are in Philadelphia against the Sixers. Sixers minus 4.5, 231.5. Is the total. Kyrie and Luka, they need every win they could possibly get right now. Still uncertain about Embiid for tonight. It sounds like Harden could be back for Philly.
Well, I'm taking the dog here. I really like Luka and the crew, plus the 4.5. I think they could be live tonight in the city of brotherly love. Give me the Mavericks outright. You won't even need the 4.5 points, baby.
I'm on the Sixers. I'll lay the 4.5 with the Sixers. I don't care if Embiid plays or not. I'm going with Philly against that mess. Lakers are in Chicago against the Bulls. Remember, they played on Sunday, I believe it was, in Los Angeles, that game where the Bulls took care of business late. That was the game where Beverly called LeBron small. It was LeBron's first game back. Lakers are 2.5-point road favorites tonight. 227.5 the total. I just can't see them losing twice to him in 4 days, Joe. I just
plus
can't.
It's a so short
back,
number.
LeBron
and it's a short number. 1.5. If it was like 6, 7, I'd say, you know, let's take the Bulls. But I do like the Lakers. I will say this though. I think I'm going to be on some totals tonight in terms of Zach LaVine over. I don't know if I'm going to go DeRozan with assists or potentially threes tonight as well.
Next, the Clippers are in Memphis against the Grizz tonight. Clippers, 1.5-point road favorite, 231.5 is the total for this one. Grizzlies, of course, played last night, and they beat the Magic. Trust the Clippers here, 1.5 short road favorite?
No, another inconsistent team on the road. If they were at home, yes. But I'm going to go with the Grizzlies. Catching points at home, I think they're the more complete team in this type of situation. I'm going to take them in the over tonight. What's Ja's number? I think we should be on Ja's number tonight.
I was just checking it. He didn't play last night. Looks like Ja's good to go tonight, Joe. So
what do you think his number is? 23?
Probably. It's probably going to be in that ballpark. Yeah, you want to go with him? It sounds like Kawhi's playing as well. You never know with him. But Kawhi and Ja, both, you're done with Kawhi, I can tell.
He's
Kawhi's
a complete money burn.
Times.
He's
we welcome in all of our radio affiliates for El Coast to Coast on a Wednesday. Sirius XM, Channel 159, Sports Byline. Good to have you with us. The Pistons in Oklahoma City against the Thunder. So last night the Thunder had an awful team from the Eastern Conference in their barn. They were laying 9.5. They couldn't get it done. Tonight, I have another bad team from the Eastern Conference in their barn. And what are they laying, Joe? 9.5. Again, this time against the Pistons, 228.5 the total.
I told you, this is it. They're now all of a sudden, the 1993 Chicago Bulls, right? I mean, come on. Rodman's coming out, cool coach. Who else you want to throw out? I mean, come on, I've had enough. This team is good against the spread when they're catching points. This is way now over exceeded in terms of the market. I'm going to take Detroit with the points.
Utah's in San Antonio against the Spurs. Spurs are awful. Utah's 4.5 point road favorite. 234.5 is the total. I'm on the Jazz and the over.
You might be on the Jazz, but I can tell you this. The Spurs have mailed it in for the season. I'm going under the 234.5 tonight.
Kevin Durant will return for the Suns tonight in Phoenix. In fact, Joe, it's the first game he's playing in Phoenix since being traded to the Suns. Every time he's tried to play previously, he got hurt. They're 5.5-point favorites against the Timberwolves, who are red hot. 234.5 is the total. I'm taking the 5.5 with the Wolves.
All right, I'll take the 5.5, but I like the over here. And maybe we'll go on Booker and some of the other players to go over their totals because Booker's been inconsistent as well.
And finally, the Kings are laying 13.5 in Portland. 235.5 is the total. Let's get on Herter tonight, Joe. You want to take Herter over how many
another
threes?
Another money burn
two, three,
with this
four.
Guy.
How many threes for Herter?
Fine. All right. Wow. Five threes. Wow. 7-1. Let's do it.
Five threes for Herter. Kings roll tonight. They'll cover the 13.5. Bro, coast to coast. We keep rolling right after that.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast on a Wednesday. Carver High in for Scotty here on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Every Wednesday here on C2C, we get ready for this weekend's PGA Tour event with the Prime Minister, Cam Stewart. Game time decisions every day, 6 p.m. East on the grid. All right, Cam, before we get to this week, I gotta talk to you about last week because I almost smashed my head into a wall. I had two of the last four guys. I had Scheffler. I had Cameron forever young, and I even hedged, like I added a couple guys in the last eight thinking, all right, let me try to get a couple more positions. I added Mac Hughes. He loses. Of course, I didn't add Burns. He ends up winning the whole thing. It's tough to get through all that and you get to the end and you come out with nothing. It was brutal. Absolutely.
Oh,
brutal.
I'm with you, Carver. I'm with you. No, I'm really pissed off too at a lot of things. We both had Cam Young. And the whole WGC thing, hey, sports books, no, not, maybe, know what? PGA Tour, WGC guys. You can't have these guys go on minutes afterwards, and some books don't post the odds, Carver, right? I want to put $700 on Burns to hedge my 45-1 with Young. And I start, and the minute they pop it up, it's live, right? Like, it's another issue. I got a lot of issues with the way things were run last week. Another thing, when have you seen Scottie Scheffler miss a 4- or 5-foot putt? The answer's never.
Stunning.
And him and his boy Burns are best friends. Every time he screws up, it's when Burns wins as being the benefactor of him. I'm not saying the WGC is rigged. I'm not saying he does. But I'm telling you, that was some soft stuff from Scheffler that week. You should be ashamed. At the end of that tournament, it looked very, very sketchy. We talked to Dubsy about it. I think you'll agree. That was some weird stuff.
Well, look, we've been watching this guy, obviously, for the last, you know, year and 2 months. He has been an absolute Terminator out there at the end of these tournaments. And I know exactly the spot you're talking about because I couldn't believe it myself with my own eyes. The second playoff hole, he puts that ball about 4 feet or less to the cup.
Yep.
And he got over there, Cam, and he stared at it and walked around it for about 5 or 6 minutes. And I'm going,
yep.
What is he looking at here? What, I mean, this is a 4-foot putt. This guy's drained a billion of these the last year and a half. What is going on? And then he missed it. I'm like, of course he missed it. How much longer could you stare at it? Get up
exactly.
And hit the ball, Cam. I couldn't believe.
You're so right,
Young,
Carver.
Like, Young out of gas. What? Young out of gas. I mean, he didn't even show up. He got destroyed by Burns in that final. What a letdown to get him all the way to the finish line. And then he didn't, because he was a nice ticket. I think he was 35-1. We had Cameron
some 40. Some 40, 45s were offering Young. And the thing is, yeah, like, how do you go down like that? You come back against Rory McIlroy, you should have, like, some juice, bro. And then you just bow down to Sam Burns. Awesome. Very disappointing. That ending of that tournament, you said it, Carver, things were really lining up for you to make. We could pad some money, have some more Valero picks, some Masters picks. But as usual, yeah. I can't believe it. Anyway, watch out with Scheffler. If he's involved with Burns again and there's more monkey business,
well,
I don't know. I feel like calling the PGA hotline.
This is the second time because they had a playoff at the Colonial last year. The two
correct.
Of them were in the playoff at the Colonial, and Burns ended up beating him. So you're on to a little something. I don't disagree with you at all. Next, the Valero Texas Open this week. They're at the TPC San Antonio. Now, let me tie in the Jabroni tournament last week with this. Obviously, the winner of the Valero gets the last golden ticket into the Masters next week into Augusta. The field is set aside from one spot, Cam. That is the winner of the Valero. And you brought something up to me before. About that Punta Cana tournament they had aside from the match play, which Matthew Wallace ended up winning, but he doesn't get to go to Augusta. How does that happen, Cam? How does that involve in the equation?
I don't want to sound like the get off my lawn guy with so much anger about golf, but it's ridiculous. There have been lesser tournaments than Punta Cana where the winner gets to go, and because some of the world's best are playing in match play, Matt Wallace, he still won on the PGA Tour. He still beat over 130 other guys. It was a full field event. What do you want from the guy? Now he's got to go out and deliver again. Anyway, if there's any justice, Carver, he wins. I'm putting him on my ticket, and I think it's PGA Tour. Hey, Monahan, you and your cronies, you guys need a lot of work on some of the things that you're doing because it doesn't make any sense. Matt Wallace won the event. He should have a ticket to the Masters. As you call him, there's more jabronis than him there. He's better than a lot of guys that are teeing it up.
Certainly is. Let's get to the picks for the Valero, Cam. As we said, there is a lot on the line for a few guys who do not have qualification into Augusta next week.
Yep.
One of them is a guy at the top of my board for the chalk. Now, Hatton is going to play, which stuns me because he had the wrist problem last week at the match play. Matsuyama allegedly is going to play too, who also backed out at the match play. I'm taking Fowler for the chalk. Now, look, Ricky hasn't won in a long time, but I just feel like him. He's played well the last few months, and you could see it in him last week. He wants to be in Augusta next week, and this is the only way he's getting there is by winning this thing. I want to be there if it happens, so I'm playing him at 18-1. I'm also on Cam Davis at 40-1, Ryan Fox at 40-1, who also played pretty well in the match play last week, and of course didn't even get to his playoff. Nick the Dentist Taylor at 50-1, and this guy Eric Cole, they're still laying the Cole man up at 80-1. I know he's not playing in Florida. Who knows what he's going to do at San Antonio, but I like the Cole man at 80-1.
Yeah, Carolina Hurricane, great. Eric Cole, clutch. I'm going to tell you, one of these weeks he's going to win there, Carver. And I know what? I love your pick. I have a couple of the same guys. And, yeah, it's interesting. The only issue I have with Fowler is I think you should be getting more than 18 on Fowler. You should be getting 25, I'm thinking. But, hey, that's life. Ricky's a popular guy, and he wants it bad. He's a part of the get-along gang. Justin Thomas, all the rest of those guys. He sees them at the Masters. He's fighting. You know what I mean? He's had enough. He wants to get back and partying on the yacht with his buddies that make a lot of money. So I'm proud of Ricky for grinding back. Golf's tough. But here's my picks, Carver. We got a couple of the same. I'm going with Taylor Montgomery. I think this guy is very, very dangerous. At 30-1, you might be able to find him like at 32, maybe a little bit of a bonus. We're on the Fox, man. Let's go in the foxhole with Ryan Fox. Nice, hefty Australia. Hey, Carver, he's like me and you after those shows in Vegas. He likes a couple cold ones.
Yeah.
Nice boiler on the Fox, man. We'll invite him for a couple pints. Thomas Dietrich, dude, I've been waiting for you to close the door for many years. It's time. This week, Matt Wallace, we've talked about him. He's amazing. You're looking for bombs, too? Watch out for Garrett Higgle. lefty from South Africa at 110-1. I think he'll be in contention this week. And another guy didn't make the list, Big Bo Hostler. He's a Texas Longhorn, too. Home game for him.
There's very few courses that Bo Hostler plays well at, Cam. This is one of them. He plays well at TPC San Antonio. So watch Big Bo Hostler for this week. Here's what I have. I'll give you a couple other things I got cooking. Top 10s and top 20s. I'm with you on Montgomery for a top 10, plus 250 for that this week. There's Matt Wallace, top 10 at plus 350. Cooch, also looking to go to Augusta, but I don't think he wins. But give me a top 20 for Cooch at plus 125. J.J. Spuds, who won this tournament last year to get into Augusta. Guess what? He needs to win it again, Cam, because he used his ticket last year. Plus 140 for him for top 20. And I'm going Hayden Buckley for a T20 also at plus 350. Your boy
Buckley's
Hayden
mixture.
Buckley and Buckley's mixture.
Awful.
And finally, Cam, we can't wait. We can't forget the first round leader bombs for tomorrow. Here we go. Cam Davis at 50-1. Thomas Dietrich, I'll follow you there. 55-1 for first round leader. How about the kid, Bhatia, who played in the Jabroni tournament last week and he had one fire round? How about I get one tomorrow at 85-1? Kramer Hickok at 90. The Smother Man at 100-1. A staple for our first round leaderboard. And Ryan Gerard at 100-1 as well for a first round leader.
Mr. Gerard, yes, I love that. Wow, I like your price on Buckley's mixture, plus 350 for a top 20. And you know what? Cam Davis likes to come out of the gate hot, and you know Ash K. Bhatia. He likes to take off his clothes, but he also likes to lead early in golf tournaments. So good stuff, Carver. I like the picks, buddy. Let's win some oil with Valero, the oil monies, and turn it into Augusta. Let's make some green, pal. Let's go. You're wearing
next
green.
Next week, Cam, we're together for a couple days, full shows, lots of Augusta Masters previews.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Know your prey. This is a whole new jungle. This is the Lion's Share. Brought to you by BetMGM.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast on a Wednesday. Carver High in for Scotty here on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Before we get to Coach, of course, we have to let you know, BetMGM March matchups. Bet $10, get $200 instantly. Just sign up and deposit at least $10 into your newly created account. Download the BetMGM Sportsbook app on iOS or Android. Place a pregame moneyline wager in the amount of at least 10 on any team to win an NCAA basketball game at standard odds price. You will receive $200 in bonus bets regardless of the outcome of your wager instantly. Only a couple games left to go here before we crown a champion on Monday night. Make sure you get involved at BetMGM. Speaking of BetMGM, it is time for the Lion's Share. Brought to you by BetMGM. And, of course, our man, Coach James Young, is in the house to kick it off. Coach, good to see you, my man. I want to start here today. I watched basically the entire Warrior-Pelican game last night. I was into it, had a bunch of slips on the game. I still don't believe that anybody in the West is going to beat that team in a seven-game series because as much as we have watched them have their trouble on the road. You got a night like last night where they're down 20. I mean, they're getting whacked. And then Draymond just basically shakes everybody up, tries to fight the entire Pelican team. Curry then starts hitting every single three. Poole starts in. They can hit you with like a huge flurry so quickly. You go from up 20 to down 10, and you don't have any idea what happened. And that's what happened to the Pelicans last night. I still don't see anybody in the West who's going to beat them, Coach. I think they're going back to the finals.
They remind me of Mike Tyson. You know Mike Tyson, his heyday? Sometimes he would look terrible for the first two or three rounds. And then he hit you in one shot, and you don't know where it came from. All you know is your ass was on the ground, and the fight was over. And that's Golden State. If you allow them, and this is how crazy this is, Carver, they could be on 20. And they're still in the game. because Draymond will turn up the defense. Then Steph gets going. Then Klay gets going. Then Poole gets going. Let's see when they get Andrew Wiggins back. He should be back hopefully by the end of the regular season. Like, when you look at the West, you every one of those teams, you can pinpoint there's an issue. Nuggets haven't done it yet. Are the Grizzlies too young? Sacramento's never even been to the playoffs. Can the Clippers stay healthy? You know, can LeBron and AD even coexist, let alone play well together? You know, can Kyrie and Luka coexist, let alone play together? Can the Pelicans get Zion back? You get all these what-ifs. But the only thing that we know is Golden State can win. So, to me, like, I'm starting to, like, Carver, I'm starting to, like, come around now. Like, I don't know. I'm seeing all these flaws in other teams, and I'm saying, all right, if Klay is Klay, Steph is Steph, Wiggins is Wiggins, Poole is Poole, and Draymond is Draymond, who the hell is beating them in a seven-game series? No one.
Yeah.
Especially if we think that this is it. Like, if this is the last ride, the quote-unquote last dance for Golden State, if this is it, I'm starting to have a hard time betting against them.
I'm with you, and I thought that last year might have been the last dance for the Curry, Klay, Draymond, you know, group. And you could see that they want to integrate these young guys to go alongside Curry for the next 4 to 5 years and try to get some more out of that. But in terms of Draymond and Klay still being major pieces, I thought last year was it. But we've come this far, and I don't see anybody willing to take it from them. And I do think, though, Coach, it's imperative that they get in that sixth spot. I think the six is a home run spot for Golden State because they're going to play, what, the Kings in the first round? Yep. They're going to play the Grizzlies in the second round? Yep. Like, and then they're going, who cares? Who cares who they play at that point in the West Finals? They get that far, whether it's Phoenix or Denver, they're going to take them out. I mean, they're going to take that team out at the end.
And here's the bigger part, Carver, that you're mentioning, right? Who's on the other side? Denver, right? Probably Phoenix, and the Clippers. Let them kill each other. We're just going to sit here on this other side of the bracket. Sometimes winning the West is winning the seed. And if you get the right seed, you can make a run, let everybody pick each other off, and then you're like left to pick up the bones at the end and keep moving on.
Seven doesn't kill them either. It's just then you got to play the extra game. You know, that's the one thing about being the seven. They're going to have to beat, you know, the Pelicans or the T-Wolves or somebody in a one game, or which you never know in one game what could happen. Guys can miss. But in seven games, I don't see it going on. How about the Cream Puff Reaper, as Scotty likes to call him, back for the Suns tonight? Amazingly, Coach, it's the first time he's actually playing at home for the Suns because he never plays. So he's finally playing in Phoenix tonight.
Big spot here, you know, for Phoenix tonight, because I'm curious to see what we get out of this team. And I think you have a dynamic offensive firepower with this team. But let's remember, Minnesota's coming in. And they've been playing some good ball, too, since Cat got back. So this is a really intriguing matchup between a team that we think could make a run in Phoenix against a team in Minnesota who is disappointed for most of the season. But all of a sudden, Carver High, they're starting to play. And the Black Jesus and Cat can figure it out with Rudy Manning in the middle. You never know. This game is going to be a really fascinating game tonight.
T-Wolves are playing well. All right, Coach, give us the plays for tonight, the lion's share, your picks in the association.
Four picks. Play number one. We're going to go with the Nets. Team total over 119.5 versus the Rockets. Why, you ask? They're playing the Houston Rockets. And the next time they play defense will be the first time. Their damn coach is crying after some games. The Rockets give up 118.8 points per game this season. Four of the last five opponents have scored 120+. This is the number 12 offense versus number 29 defense. Brooklyn's got to get going. They just gave up 137 to the Knicks and the Rockets. Give me the Nets team total over 119.5. Next, speaking of the Knicks, I'm going to get them in a rematch tonight. -4.5 at Miami. Remember, they lost to Miami last week. The Knicks, the Heat are 2-6 against the spread the last 8 road games. They're 1-5 against the spread the last 5 road games versus a team with a winning home record. Knicks, 7-2-1, uncharacteristically, last 10 against the spread at home, 9-3-1, last 13 overall. Big bounce back performance, particularly out of Julius Randle. Next, listen, Carver knows I'm fading the Dallas Mavs. So where am I going? I'm going with the Sixers, -4.5. Mavs are 3-8 against the spread the last 11 games overall. I know the Sixers are 5-2 against the spread the last 7 home games versus a team with a losing road record. They're 1-4 against the spread the last 5 home games. As long as JoJo plays tonight, after all the junk he get from ducking Joker, I think he goes off. Last, Grizzlies, -3.5 versus the Clippers. Clippers 9-4 against the spread the last 13 road games, which is good for them. Grizzlies 3-1-1 against spread the last 5 games overall. Fantastic at home. Give me the Grizzlies -3.5.
You know, Coach, you brought up him ducking Joker the other night. And I heard you and Scotty, obviously, the other day about it. I'm kind of on the other side. Like, I think he has a legitimate injury here that he's playing with. Like, why the hell would he not want to play in that game? He dropped, what, 45, 46 on him 2 weeks ago when he played him? I just don't see him ducking the Joker in this spot. And I think it's wrong that he's not the favorite anymore because he missed one game. Those odds, Coach, swung because he didn't play the other night. And that's nonsense to me. He's the MVP of the league. I don't get it, Coach, why he misses one game and now he's out. It's just stupid.
Well, I think there's also a narrative, let's be honest, Carver. I don't think they like Embiid very much. It's kind of mercurial. He's
and
not
clearly.
You know, and to me, he should have won it. Let's be honest, Carver. You know, we can argue about who won it this year. Last year, I don't think it was close. Last year, it should have went to Embiid. I don't know why.
Not
because Scotty had a ticket on him last year and he's still complaining about it. But to me, here's the thing.
It was
here's
his the award. Thing. It was his.
Here's the thing. If this team finishes well down the stretch, I still think he can get the award this year. I just wonder with the narrative of no one besides who Russell and Bird have won 3 in a row. I don't think he's out of it yet. I just want to see him show up and show out tonight, which I think he will.
And he's got games left against. I think they play the Bucks once or twice and the Celtics once or twice. He's got some high-profile games left over the next 2.5 weeks. Where it'll make up for him, you know, not showing up the other night. 30 seconds, or a little bit more, Coach, just under a minute. LeBron in Chicago tonight after Pat Bev did the small thing to him the other night. Does LeBron stick it back to Pat Bev and the Bulls tonight in Chicago?
Oh, listen, I'm not the biggest LeBron fan. You know that. But
yes.
Everybody in Chicago, duck. Because, you know, Pat Bev, listen, bro, at the end of the day, it was like a decent post move. I mean, me and Mafia could have done that move just as nice as you. And you kind of saying you small. Bro, it's going to get ugly. I love the Lakers tonight. I think they're going to beat them down.
I'm with you. I think it's a big night for the Lakers. They're not losing that team twice in 4 days. I just don't see it at all. All right, there you go. Coach Young, the lion's share, brought to you by BetMGM. Let's cash him tonight, Coach. We're back on Coast to Coast right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast on a Wednesday. Carver High in for Scotty here today on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Good to have you with us. Whenever anything is happening in Baltimore, we always go to our man, Jeremy Kahn down there. Of course, the Big Bad Morning Show, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. Jeremy, good to see you, my man, as always. Of course, Lamar drama. Taking over the city, even with the Orioles ready to throw first pitch tomorrow. We will get to them at the end, but let's start with Lamar. I find this entire thing so fascinating because it's so rare that we have a guy who just won an MVP 3-4 years ago. Still, when he's healthy, one of the top, you could say five, you could say seven quarterbacks in the NFL. That's, let's face it, available right now for any team to go and talk to if they wanted to. And all I heard from every single suit and coach the last 3 days out in Arizona was, well, Lamar Jackson's a great player, but. Every one of them said he's a great player, but. And there was a but after every single guy from Arthur Blank all the way down. What are the people in Baltimore right now thinking about this entire Lamar Jackson situation?
Well, when the contract negotiations started, I didn't have a single gray hair. And now look at me. I look like Tim Allen in the Santa Claus. I mean, this is just – it's been so tough, man, to sit here and watch everything that's going on with the contract negotiations, how Lamar's perceived things. He doesn't have an agent. I don't know if we're going to wait until Ken Francis gets certified or what's going to happen, but – I mean, this whole thing's been weird, and it started out with guaranteed money. That's what he wanted. We all thought he was going to get paid by somebody. If it wasn't the Ravens, you know, we thought he was going to get the exclusive, not the non-exclusive tag. And then as things started to kind of unravel, whether you want to call it collusion, whether the Ravens asked around at the draft combine or whatever it may be, they decided to give him the non-exclusive and then wait for that to happen and see if anybody gave him any offers. And right now it seems like nobody's interested in either giving up draft compensation or paying him the type of money he wants. It's one or the other.
There seems to be this theory out there. Now, obviously, the Browns and every NFL insider you talk to, whoever, the Browns screwed the rest of the league by giving Watson all of that money guaranteed. Because now you're in a situation like this where there's guys who are better than him, probably deserve that same amount, if not more, that want theirs. But there seems to be this feeling now that, you know, the owners have all gotten together and said, nobody's going to go touch that number. And that might be the reason why nobody's like, how is nobody like reaching out? Or maybe we're just not hearing about it because he doesn't have an agent. It's so hard. I think the 230, Jeremy, is the number. And I think he's drawn a line in the sand. And that's why it's hard for any of these teams to even come near him.
Yeah. And look, I don't believe this has been a negotiation at all, because I feel like Lamar drew a line in the sand. He has an idea of what he wants. The Ravens offered what they offered. No, they came up from that. No, not good enough. They made their last-ditch offer, which, from what we were told, whether you can believe who you want because he said there were lies when some of the reports that were coming out, I think you'd have to look at it and say it was an offer for $200 million guaranteed. It was $133 up front, $175 guaranteed if he gets hurt and can't finish the contract. And then on top of it, if he's under contract year three and on the team, then he gets a – you know, it's $200 million fully guaranteed. So I think when you look at that, the likelihood of him not being on the team, I mean, there's a 99.9999% chance because of all the dead money that would be there that you'd expect him to be on the team for year three. So in essence, it was a guaranteed deal for $200 million. And I don't understand how you don't take that unless you just don't want to be in Baltimore, or you just don't like it here. To me, something had to go on behind the scenes, whether he was angry at Greg Roman, angry at some of the things that happened, angry about being hurt and blaming the team for it. We had all the stuff that came out with their strength and conditioning coordinator. So whatever it is, right, there's something else that has to be there.
There definitely is. And we saw his tweets this morning, right? Talking about those games that he's missed the last 2 years in November and December, because Arthur Blank brought that up unsolicited last night when he was talking to reporters. And that got Lamar back on the social media, which is where you get all of his information from. I guess it's nice to get it straight from him and not through insiders that go through agents. But still, I think there is something to that, Jeremy, that he hasn't finished the last 2 years. Are people in the Raven organization leery about him not finishing the last 2 years? And possibly, but you just said it. They already offered him $175, $200. So clearly they're not that upset about it.
No, I think it's the only fair thing I've really heard about Lamar. Like, you know, Arthur Blank said it about his injuries. And if you're going to look at it and you're going to give somebody guaranteed money, a lot of it, which we fully expect, then I get it if you're going, hey, your last 2 years, you haven't been healthy. But, you know, some of the other things that have been said, I don't buy into it, because I think he's a better thrower of the football than people give him credit for. He hasn't had the greatest weapons here, and he still put up numbers and won an MVP. You know, there's a lot to look at. Does he need to improve on the deep ball outside the hashes? Of course. I think he's better at reading defenses than people give him credit for. But we have not seen him in a pro-style offense. It's been all this – if you want to call it an RPO, I'm still waiting for that pass option sometimes. It looks more like a run offense, you know, with an option there. So I just wonder, like, what other teams look at when they see him, because he is a guy, and I don't like wins and losses by quarterbacks. He's one of the few people that I would say he's responsible for a lot of those W's.
Why have they not gone out and gotten, and I know these guys don't grow on trees, why have they not gone out the last couple of years and gotten that guy to be on the outside, a go-to guy at the receiver position? The Ravens have needed for years. I mean, Allen, the Bills got Allen Diggs, and you go around the league and the young quarterbacks, they find a piece to try to make those guys even better. Why have the Ravens not done that with this guy?
Part of me thinks that they're just hard-pressed to trade away any of their picks. They like having them. This is a weird year, too, for them, because you have five picks coming into the draft, no second-round pick, so you really don't have the draft capital to move around and make moves. We all thought – we heard they were the favorite for DeAndre Hopkins for about three seasons now, and when the Texans traded him for a washed-up running back and a number two pick or a second-round pick, you're going, that's all it took to get arguably the best receiver at that point of the league, you know. And that's all it took to get him, and we weren't in on that. Like, how did that happen? And even now in the offseason, I still think a lot stems off of Lamar and the money that you have to have for him if he plays on that franchise tag. So I think that's part of the reason why, you know, when everybody else is looking at free agents, we're signing Nelson Aguilar, trying to tell the fans, like, this is a great thing. Trust me on this. You know, but it is tough to see that they haven't. They have tried drafting wide receivers in the first round, and Bateman's been hurt the past 2 years, and Hollywood has to be traded. So I think they got fair value back for a guy on coming up on his fifth year option that you're going to get another first round pick for.
It actually is. It's a fair point you just made, because they have tried at the back of the first round to get some wide receivers, and you just don't know. You might get Bateman. You might get Justin Jefferson. I get it. Like, the scouting departments do their work and you try, but sometimes you know, Minnesota, they could say all they want, this was their guy. You know, you never know until the guy gets out there and he actually starts doing it that he's going to be a stud in the NFL. So that stuff is just bad luck sometimes when those things happen. If I had it right now, put the money on the table, Jeremy, is he playing week one for the Baltimore Ravens? Because I don't think that he would play on that 32 or 33 million, whatever it is, transition tag. I'm not sure he would do that.
I am a gambling man and a confident gambling man. This is not a bet I would tell anybody to take. So I'm here living and being in this all the time and talking it every single day. I got off the air Monday and then we heard about his, like, if you want to call it a press release or whatever it was, he just tweeted out or put it out on Instagram, all these things. Here's Harbaugh getting blindsided by it. Ultimately, without anybody really stepping forward, I don't know how he's not on this team, because apparently the Ravens want him back. There's some thought that this could be posturing by him trying to raise their price. But again, if nobody's out there offering you anything, how does your price go up? How did the Ravens even go back to the last deal that they offered him? You know, but I think they would to try to make him happy. Ultimately, there's a really good chance that he ends up playing on the franchise tender. And then we see what happens at the end of next year. So yes, I would say yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, it's amazing in the way that it's unraveled, especially in the last couple days, starting with Monday, where he said that he requested the trade. And I feel for Harbaugh, too, because like you said, he got blindsided kind of on Monday. Now, clearly he knew that if it's true that March 2nd he asked for a trade. I mean, Harbaugh's got to know that. But Harbaugh's not the guy. You think Harbaugh doesn't want Lamar Jackson playing quarterback for him next year? I mean, honestly, what's John supposed to say in that spot in Arizona at the breakfast table with all the reporters around him? Of course he wants Lamar. I'm sure he's not happy that he doesn't want to be there or wants to request a trade, but Harbaugh wants Lamar Jackson to be the quarterback next year, Jeremy.
Yeah, that guy saved his job, right? I mean, you think about it, there was talks sure about Harbaugh did. Being let go at the end of the year, and then he made the switch to Lamar. I watched an option offense for about eight games in that horrible playoff game, and I kept saying, this is not going to work at the NFL level. And then next year, we saw the proof was in the pudding. He worked his tail off in the offseason. And then ends up winning an MVP. And you can point at certain things. A lot of quarterbacks got hurt that year. Mahomes did. Lamar had an excellent year running and throwing the football. So, yeah, they definitely want him back. But is he going to come back disgruntled? Is he going to be happy once he finally signs the deal? These are things we don't know. And the whole Ken Francis thing was insane, because what if I came back and said, hey, I've got the ShamWow guy calling all these different teams and trying to sign a contract for me or get me. Like, it didn't make any sense. They got this guy with a gym in a box that has – bands and two dumbbells. They're like, what are we doing here? You know, it's just absurd.
It's amazing. It really is. We'll see what happens with Lamar and the Ravens down the road. All right, Jeremy, it is opening day tomorrow, Major League Baseball. And I've got a feel that the optimism and the hope for Oriole baseball after the way they played the last 4 months of the season last year and the way they finished and how tough they were in that AL East, that there's got to be some big hope from the Oriole faithful down in Baltimore.
Yeah, it is a weird feeling to say our beacon of light is a team that had the lowest payroll in baseball last year. Hey, they did. They put it together. I don't know how many teams in one season get to call up the number one prospect in baseball, and the Orioles have had just that with Adley Rutschman, and I think Gunnar Henderson's going to be better than Adley. So, and that's saying a lot because both these guys are legit. Grayson Rodriguez, the number one pitching prospect in baseball, he's going to start in AAA. But, yeah, there's a lot of excitement about these young players and the direction his team's going in. The fans are waiting for them to spend money, but we've got one of the best ballparks in all of baseball. If you haven't been to Camden Yards, come here and see it. It's amazing. And I think it's weird kind of being down on the Ravens and being up on the Orioles at this time of year, but that's where we're at.
It certainly is. A couple of things for them. Win total this year, 77.5. Over or under for the Orioles, 77.5 with the win total.
I'm over it. I saw a lot of people were betting them to get into playoffs. I think they're going to be on that cusp. And depending on how things go, you're relying on a lot of pitching that, you know, when you look at it from an outset, if you're not a Baltimore guy, you probably don't know who Dean Kramer and Kyle Bradish are. You're probably not all that excited about Kyle Gibson or Cole Irvin coming here. But that being said, with the new, like how they move back the fence in this ballpark where everybody was like beating it up, it's really helped the pitching here. And you might say, well, yeah, it hurts your bats as well, but you know, when you look at all the teams in the AL East outside of Tampa Bay, and even then, they're a really good team. They're sluggers galore, and this is a hitter's park division. So I just think that the way that they've set up, they're going to be very successful at home. They're going to try to shorten some games. And I think finally they have a really nice lineup from top to bottom that you can rely on some of these young guys. Granted, it's young players, so we know that things can go awry, but I think you have to like where you're at right now.
They got legit hitters, man. Santander and Mountcastle, I mean, those guys can mash, and that's huge for them. And I think it's going to help them not have this new schedule, not having the Yankees, the Blue Jays, the Rays 18, 19 times. I think the Orioles are one of the teams that benefits big time from now getting spread out a little bit, and they get to go and play all these other teams, even though they had some good success against a few of those AL East teams last year. Jeremy, great stuff as always, my man. Enjoy opening day tomorrow. And God, I hope the Lamar thing ends for you sometime soon, Jeremy.
Thank you.
Kahn,
I appreciate it.
Jeremy Kahn, fan in Baltimore. We're back on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back for El Coast to Coast on a Wednesday. Carver High, Joe Lisi in for Scotty on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. It is time, Joe, for this day in Carver High sports history. Let's go. I'm going to start you in 1929 today, Joe. Bruins beat the Rangers 2-1 for a 2-0 series sweep for the Stanley Cup, their first title. 41, Wisconsin beat Washington State to win the men's basketball championship. 1966, Muhammad Ali beats George Chuvalo. Who, by unanimous decision in their heavyweight title match. 76, Indiana beats Michigan for the men's title. First time the two teams for the same conference played for the championship. 1982, North Carolina and Georgetown. The NCAA men's title on the line. A little freshman named Michael Jordan.
Jordy the Black. The time, 18. Michael Jordan,
14 seconds. Look for Sleepy Floyd.
He threw it to the wrong man. He threw it to Worthy.
It's over. It's over.
There you go, Joe. The start of the legacy for Michael Jordan there at North Carolina. Gretzky breaks his own NHL record, 126 assists in 85. 87, Tennessee routes Louisville to win the women's basketball championship. 87, Sandy Lyle of Scotland, first international player to win the Players. 92, Davis Love III won the Players. 94, Jimmy Johnson quit as the head coach of the Cowboys. I'm out of here, Jerry. 96, the Cleveland Browns choose their new name after relocating. They became the Baltimore Ravens. 98, Justin Leonard comes from five strokes back to win the Players. 99, UConn beat Duke for UConn's first ever NCAA men's title. There you go, Joe. 2018, Rusty Staub passed away of multiple organ failure at 73. Joe, Jordan shot against Georgetown. Unbelievable. Who knew what would happen after that?
Crazy to believe. Nothing like air, baby. Nothing like air with the movie on deck. Love it.
Coast to Coast, hour three next.